Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey there, this is Tyler Lewis, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Tyler Lewis. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited that this worked out and that you're here, and you're a guy I've been following for a little bit online, but this is our first time getting to sit down and hang out and meet and get to talk some. So
yeah, your podcast has been blowing it up. I've been seeing it everywhere on Facebook. I've got a couple friends that have done it, and so I definitely wanted to reach out, and I think it worked out. So here we are.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm glad it did. Well, you mentioned off mic, we were kind of talking about some of our buddies, like you said, and mm-hmm. Joe Bozzelli and
Bill Romer. Yeah.
So, two friends of the show. If you haven't, heard their episodes, check those out after you finish this one. But you said you have been doing some writing and stuff with Bill too. Is that right?
Yeah, Bill and I write a ton. We both kind of have the same schedule playing out, playing gigs, and so we get together a lot on mornings and just try and write a song or two. And I used to write with Joe Bozzelli all the time as well, but everybody gets busy and he's got to work, so we don't get together as much. But man, we used to be the dream team. We wrote some good stuff together, and I'll play a song or two that Joe and I wrote, I think.
So. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, both of those guys are great and doing big things and around the area. And then I know Joe's been doing some stuff in Nashville too, and all this stuff. And like, so all those guys are especially here locally, but also, nationally, trying to make it, trying to do their thing. So it's cool to see guys like yourself that are, hungry for it and want to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad. I hope Joe gets back to Nashville soon. I used to live there, and it was awesome. It was really quite the experience.
Yeah. What, Yeah, one of those mentioned off mic. One of the first things you said something along, we've talking about some people we like, and you said something along the lines of meeting Garth Brooks in Nashville, and I was like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
So how long do you live in Nashville? And I guess let's start there.
You know, I went to college for a semester down at Southeast Missouri State, and I got the opportunity to go do an internship / job, whatever you want to call it, at a publishing company, and kind of learn the business and everything. And so I worked at Harlan Howard Songs Publishing Company. And if you don't know who Harlan Howard is, look him up. You'll be amazed. He was one of the most prolific, like, country songwriters back in the day ever. And so I worked there, and my boss would take me in different functions and just teach me all about so much, you know, how the business works. And she took me to a memorial service, actually, for someone who died. He is a very respected cameraman or photographer in the music business, and I was sitting over there eating appetizers because I didn't want ramen noodles that night. I didn't have a lot of money. And I look over, and in comes walking through, you know, hat and all, Garth Brooks, and Trisha was right behind him. I kid you not, he honestly walked right up to me. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Garth Brooks. I'm like, I know exactly who you are. And yeah. He's like, this is my wife, Trisha Yearwood. I'm like, I know who she is too. And he sat there and talked to me for, you know, 5-10 minutes. After the initial, like, I'm going to pee myself, he's a really, really awesome guy. Like, I mean, sincere, personal. You know, I bet he would still remember me, honestly. Like, he's just got that kind of connection, and really awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, we were in Indiana for a wedding the beginning of the month, and we happened to be there Sunday when he was in town also.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, I didn't realize he was in town just because, like, we had just showed up for the wedding, so I wasn't really paying attention to the concert schedule. But I was watching some of the TV and some of the news, and Garth was had some time off for that afternoon and was, like, helping out at some local football camp and stuff like that. So, you know, it just shows his character that he is a great guy. He's giving back to the kids and doing everything to help out the, you know, community and stuff too, along with, you know, putting on the show and stuff. But mm-hmm. But yeah, man, that also reminds me when you said, you know, when he walks in and says, "Hi, I'm Garth." Like, I caught something on TV the other day, like 60 Minutes or whatever, with Oprah.
Yeah,
Oprah did something. Did something in his prison, and she's like, walks in, and she's like, "Hi, I'm Oprah." And I'm like, everybody, you know, I just thought that just cracked me up. I was like, everybody knows Oprah.
Everybody knows Oprah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, man, that's gotta be cool just to meet be in Nashville, because, like, I mean, I know not everybody, I mean, a lot of people live there, obviously. A lot of people mm-hmm. that play there, they all live there too. But, you know, people, it's kind of one of the cool things about there, being in, like, just kind of being plugged into that scene. And you know, you never know when Garth or Keith Urban or somebody's going to walk in the bar. And
yeah, I mean, it happened a few times. I ran into multiple country singers. Actually, at my work, I walked into the sunroom. I was going to go right. And out back, we rented a room to Tim McGraw's manager, Scott Simon, I think his name is. But I walked in the sunroom, and Faith Hill's sitting there having the meeting. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
It was awesome, though.
Yeah, man.
Just they're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, let's backtrack a bit. You, I kind of, like I said, this is our first time really getting to talk. I kind of wanted to get to know more about the backstory of how you got into songwriting and everything, either way. But you, did you originally grow up here in the area?
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life, St. Charles area.
Yeah.
Grew up in a great family and went to Fort Sumwalt West High School.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. My wife went there also, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I put that together when Bill was saying that they went together, to school together. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And then you, were you writing? Did you learn playing guitar and stuff pretty young age, or that kind of?
You know, I remember, and it's funny, I remember getting guitar lessons in, like, fifth grade, and I took a few and kind of learned, but nothing crazy. And guitar went away in my closet until freshman year. I remember sitting in art class, and I was sharing an iPod with a girl I kind of had a crush on, and oh, what song is it? Uncle Cracker, Follow Me. You know, that riff came on. And she's like, oh, I love this song. I'm like, I'm going to go out and dust off that old guitar and
there you go,
and learn how to play that. And I didn't get the girl, but I did re-fall in love with playing guitar and music and stuff. And
it's funny how how many people have that a similar story where you know learning the guitar for the girl or whatever it is. And but yeah, man, that's a great motivator though to you know, want to impress her and stuff. And
yeah,
it worked out.
Yeah, and you know, I was really, really shy in my early years, high school wise, and my friends, I owe it a lot to them. My friends and my dad, they're all pretty outgoing, and they pretty much forced me to play for them, and eventually I just got really comfortable with it. And
so, do they play at all, or do they not a musical family or anything like that?
No, no. My dad sings, but he can't carry a tune necessarily. God bless him. And then, that's pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the outlier in the family, but.
Right on. So when do you start, you know, getting the notion to wanting to write original songs and stuff? Like, where does that hit you?
It was around junior year, I'd say, of high school. You know, I don't know what happened. One night I just started it, I guess, and yeah, I ended up playing it for some people, and they're like, that's not bad. Actually, you know, what really made it take off was Highway 94 right out here. We used to go ride down that road and probably do things we weren't supposed to do, and I wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, oh, this is great. And long story short, I ended up on Fox 2 News with Tim Azell in the morning playing that song on there. And so it's a big hit with the friends and stuff, and it just kind of steamrolled from there.
Nice, yeah. I love that kind of stuff. Like, for me, I don't remember when I first heard it, but there's a George Thorogood song called Back to Wentzville, talking about going back to Chuck Berry's house and partying and stuff, you know, and he says there's a line in there, Cruising Highway Z, my coupe de ville, and I'm like,
yeah.
So for me, like, it's just cool that he's talking about right here in my own neighborhood.
Home, yeah.
Yeah, so I imagine that's a lot of the same effect of what, if you're talking about 94, your buddies are all like, you know, they know that area and stuff. And
Judgment Tree and Molly's Grave and all that stuff we used to get into, yeah.
And Joe Bizzelli, we mentioned, he's got the new Melly song, so like, you know, all about his home and stuff. So like, it's that same thing. It's just cool that we, you know, that you, especially for us, that we know that. And but I think a lot of that, the writing in that song, those kind of songs, like, you know, you kind of, no matter who hears it, can kind of follow along with the words and paint the picture of this town and stuff with you. And
that's exactly right. Yeah. Kind of give them a taste of what really went down.
Sure, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hear all those small town songs on the radio and stuff, and like, you know exactly what they're talking about and stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
Well, cool, man. So you get into writing in high school, and then something like that after that, you started getting the niche to go into Nashville and trying to do this thing, or?
Yeah, you know, I started playing gigs here and there, little, like, $50 gigs and stuff. Stuff to laugh about nowadays, but and I just kept getting a little bit better and better, and it was something I loved doing, and I remember I wrote a graduation song. I played at my high school graduation in front of my graduating class, and people are like, man, you gotta just run with this and stuff. So I made some calls, and after, you know, that semester of college, I was saying, had the opportunity to move to Nashville, and I took it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And it didn't end fantastic. Yeah.
That's a tough town though, man. Like, you know, I was saying pros and cons. I was talking about like being down there, being in the where you can meet all these people. It's great networking in that sense, but also the fact like we it's like the busiest town. There's so many people moving.
A lot
there.
Of competition. Yeah. My case was a little bit different. And I guess everything happens for a reason, but so it's about seven, eight months down there I've been, and I'm having really bad trouble with my tonsils, and the whole plan was go home, get them taken out, wait a week, come back, all good and stuff. Well, luck will have it, I got them out, and I had like severe bleeding. I was like a one in, I don't know how many, you know, case, one in a million or something, and it kept bleeding and bleeding, and so they cauterized it, bleeding, cauterized it again, moved me to a different hospital, cauterized it again, put me in ICU, and then eventually some freaky brain surgeon dude did something that I don't remember. And finally it stopped, you know, bleeding and stuff. But that I had my first like 5 surgeries ever in my life in like 30 something hours or something. It was awful.
Wow.
Yeah. It took me a long time to recover from that, and I couldn't keep living in Nashville, obviously. So,
right.
But I got to come home and, you know, do my gigs and stuff, and so I've gotten to do some pretty cool things from here too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel like also with today's, you know, technology with the internet and everything, that again, Nashville is cool down there, but like you can pretty much make it from anywhere with it. You can sit here and you can write with people from Nashville across the internet. You can do all this stuff and of course we're only like a 5-hour drive down there, so you can always make the trip for the weekend and do some stuff. And
yeah, my co-writer and I were talking about that today. Like, you know, he's got a family, Bobby Evans. I don't know if Joe ever told you about him or Bill, but he's an awesome writer, awesome lyricist, and he's got a family. You know, I don't want to say he's stuck here, but you know, his roots are here, and he really doesn't want to move to Nashville. But I mean, he's got a chance to make it, we were talking about how you can probably make it, you know, nowadays. Sure. You know, all it takes is just an email or something, you know, the right song and an email. So
I mentioned about every episode, but one of my favorites, Will Hogue. You know, granted, he was also down there doing his thing for many years, but he got to the point where, and he was telling the story at the show one night, and he was getting ready to cut his new record, and they started passing it around to some friends, and then like, and they had one song in particular that some friends decided to send it to Chevy, and they cut Strong. So he gets a call from Chevy. They're like, you know, hey, Mr. Hogue, you know, we'd like to, you know, so it's like. It's a great story, but the fact that like it is, you put in a lot of time networking, but it can happen like that too. Yeah. You know, just an email saying, "Hey, we really like that song," and
Imagine he made a pretty penny off that.
Sure, yeah, that one.
And I remember seeing that.
Yeah, man, that's a great song. That's a powerful song. Like it.
Yeah.
I first heard it like shortly after my grandfather passed, and man, that hit me like it was just like. I was in tears, and I'm like, because it just, exactly what he stood for, man, and it was really a powerful thing, but I'm glad that worked out for Will. And then he also did, Even If It Breaks Your Heart, Eli Young Band cut and stuff, so I think that's the, you know, kind of the key to success in down there is, like, getting people to cut tunes, man, so.
It's hard. Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of artists want to write them themselves, you know, so you almost have to write with them unless it's an unreal song, you know, so.
Yeah, well, that's a, I'll finish up with Will's story there. After they cut, he was telling, again, at the show, after they cut Even If It Breaks Your Heart, they invited Will out on the road, again, just like you're saying, to co-write and stuff. And he was saying, you know, he's out there, they were opening for Kenny Chesney at the time or something, and, like, they're playing these massive arenas, and he's talking about, like, he played, like, St. Louis here, and then, like, went to Chicago and Detroit or whatever, and each time it was, like, you know, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 people or whatever, and these massive crowds, he said that Eli Young Band invited him out there to play some guitar on stuff, you know, and he's, like, watching these crowds of 50,000 people singing the words back to him, you know, and he's like, how amazing that was. And
I can't even
fathom. Everybody knows the words to his song, and he said he's back there playing guitar. He's like, I wrote this motherfucker, you know, I'm like, so it was just such a great story. But I mean, and then, like, you know, of course for him, like, he goes back and does his own shows, and, you know, maybe 100, 200 people or whatever in a club the next night, you know, so it's like, it's kind of a whirlwind business, man. You never, you know, you got highs and lows in it, but
definitely, it's, you know, no matter how many people are out there, you got to just play the same show.
Yeah,
I've gotten the chance to open up for some really cool bands and people and stuff. I opened up for, well, Hungarians, One More Round, a Johnny Cash tribute band. We were talking about how much we like Johnny Cash, and then the coolest. I don't know if you've heard Buy Me a Boat, that Chris Jansen guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to open up for him at the Chesterfield Amphitheater.
Oh, yeah?
And
I was there that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so as me, the Well Hungarians, and then Chris Jansen came out.
Yeah, I think we might have got there late, though, like, because I think I had to work or something like that. But I remember my wife, Stacy's a big Chris, and she loves that Buy Me a Boat tune, so
yeah.
That took her to go, especially being this close to home. So
yeah, he's from Missouri, too. Chris right. Jansen is he's a cool guy. I got to talk to him. We were talking deer hunting, and that guy drinks Mountain Dew like you would not believe.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, but... He's a nice guy.
Very cool, man. Well, we jammed a couple of tunes here live in my kitchen. That sounded real nice. Have you gotten close to kind of selling any of these tunes yet? Getting somebody to cut one or not? Or how's that process going?
You know, we've worked really hard. We've dropped a lot of songs off and, you know, contacted a lot of publishers. It's one of those things that's really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, a few of them are floating around in there, kind of, but we'll just see what happens. I mean, all you can do is keep trying.
Yeah. Well, there's we'll start with If I Met You on a Monday. And this one, you were saying, it did get quite a bit of attention. I remember seeing it on, passed around some, you were within some competition with it, right?
Yeah. There was like a NSAI Top 40 contest, and, you know, winner gets this and that, and I think we came in like second in voting, and the person that beat us had a huge following, but it was awesome. This song I wrote with Bobby Evans, who I was telling you about, and this was actually the first time we wrote together, and this song is kind of like our baby. I mean, at least it is for me. I love this song. It might be one of my favorite songs I've ever written. If I met you on a Monday at the grocery store and you dropped the milk and hit the floor, you'd have covered your mouth and gave me a smile. I might have found love in the dairy aisle. Or on a crowded street, you bumped into me. I turned around just to see a beautiful girl. Who knows, it could have changed my world. If I met you on a Monday, if I met you on a Monday. But I met you on the weekend and I was drinking, acting like a crazy fool, having one hell of a night, one hell of a time, playing way too cool. Girl, you gave me a chance and you wanted to dance, but I got a beer instead of your hand, and I'd never let you walk away. If I met you on a Monday, if I met you on a Monday in an elevator, I told the joke and 10 floors later you got off the same time as me. Like it was destiny. If I met you on a Monday, if I met you on a Monday. But I met you on the weekend and I was drinking, acting like a crazy fool, having one hell of a night, one hell of a time, playing way too cool. Girl, you gave me a chance and you wanted to dance, but I grabbed a beer instead of your hand, and I'd never let you walk away. If I met you on a Monday, I'd have given my time, would have treated you right, would have been the type of guy that I wasn't that night. When I met you on the weekend and I was drinking, acting like a crazy fool, having one hell of a night, one hell of a time, playing way too cool. Girl, you gave me a chance and you wanted to dance, I grabbed a beer instead of your hand, and I'd never let you walk away. And I'd have known just what to say if I met you on a Monday.
If I met you on a Monday, yeah, it would be okay. Yes, it would. If I met you on a Monday,
yeah, man, great song.
Yeah, if I met you on a Monday, it's funny. I think every like college kid has gone through this. You know, they're out on a Friday, Saturday night with all their buddies and just making a real ass of themselves, just right. being a drunkard. And the perfect girl is there and stuff, and you just blow it. And, you know, you're being an idiot. But what if sure. I met you on a Monday? And so that's the kind of where it stemmed from. And,
yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a really cool song.
Yeah. Is this, have you, do you have like a CD or cut any of these, for people or?
You know, I haven't, I've been talking about doing kind of like an EP thing. I've more always focused on the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I love playing out. I play out pretty regularly, but, the songwriting is what does it. I'd much rather Blake Shelton do the song than me.
Right. well, there's, I always think like a guy like yourself too, like there's, Dallas Davidson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and man. The guy is, like, he's a.
The Peach Pickers, yeah, all them guys. Yeah. Ben Hayslip. And,
for sure. But Dallas is like, I mean, yeah, again, had his hand in like every number one song on the radio for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he also cut a record with all, you know, him singing all the songs. Mm-hmm. So, like, and, you know, honestly, I prefer his version of the songs, than just because it's a little more stripped down, more yeah. you know, like, you know, it's more just him and a guitar on a mm-hmm. lot of stuff. Then, you know, he'll sell it to Luke Bryan or whatever, and then makes it, you know, what it is on radio. But it's like, but hearing, you know, Dallas' version, like, I tend to prefer it. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Some stuff is just too done up, it's stripped down, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes it's overproduced and kind of yeah. loses that that communication that songs are supposed to have. Right. I don't know.
I think it would be cool if you cut a record, cut an EP even, or whatever, something that, you know, especially even to sell at these shows. And but
yeah,
I think a lot of people would want to hear your voice on these songs.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, it's just it'd be a cool keepsake for myself. Yeah. You know, just say I did it.
Right. We mentioned playing out live. You can catch Tyler this Friday night at the October 27th at Timber Creek Grill. Come on over there. Or you can also catch him coming up in November. You got November 9th at Donatelli's, right here in Lake St. Louis area. And you got the 10th at Cyberg's Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
And the 11th at BMO's Grill. And that's, O'Fallon?
That's right? Cottleville.
Cottleville.
Yeah, it's on that Cottleville strip there.
Yeah.
All are really awesome places. And if you ever need to find me, follow my Facebook page, Tyler Backwoods Lewis Music, and I keep all my dates, all my shows updated on that, and you can go check it out.
Yeah. You said Backwoods, it's kind of a nickname.
Yeah. Around. Yeah. I don't know. I really, really like to hunt and fish and just all outdoors. And somebody called me it in gym class in high school at some point, and it just stuck like right. glue. And, so yeah, it kind of turned into a stage name,
right.
I guess.
I joked on here one day about not really ever having like a nickname. I always just had Big Shane, you know, like I'm like, oh. So my buddy, Blake, like took it upon himself to like write down all these nicknames, like, and it was pretty funny. So like we rattled off like 20 different potential nicknames and stuff. And,
that's funny.
Yeah. So it was a good time, but yeah, so far I've just pretty much Big Shane.
That's, Big Shane. I think of one, I'll let you know.
Yeah. We'll, so if you got one, you can feel free to write in. You know, tweet at the show.
Definitely.
So, yeah, man. Well, you did another one, and this one, Gray Skies, was kind of a request from some friends and fans, and
yeah.
You said you don't play this one a ton, though?
You know, I haven't played it in a long time. It's so sappy and so yeah. breakup-y, and, but I suppose it's appropriate. But a lot of people really have just kind of clung to the song over the years, and it's one of my favorites, I guess, I've wrote, too. I keep saying that about every song, I guess, but out of all the songs I've written, you know, I've got a top 10 or so.
Yeah.
This song came from, I got broken up with, is like my senior year of high school, and I just remember she walked out of the door, I just about slammed it, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, this song was there, and it's you know, it's kind of like a piece of diary of mine, you know, and kind of captures that moment, so. It's hard right now to find a smile on my face. I hope tomorrow's a better day. And every road's got its twists and turns. That's just how this old boy learns. I've got a life I wouldn't trade. Faith and love that won't ever fade. When I see you walk away, blue skies get a little more gray. A rich man prays for a pot of gold, a poor man prays for a lighter load. A lover wants a hand to hold. An old man wants his years back, a sinner needs a right track. Writer wants his story told, but tonight all I pray is you come back and gray skies go away. I know you had your reasons to leave. Also know you still love me. So please turn around, no, please don't go. I need you more than you'll ever know. A rich man prays for a pot of gold. A poor man prays for a lighter load. A lover wants a hand to hold. An old man wants his ears back. A sinner needs a right track. A writer wants his story told. But tonight all I pray is you come back and gray skies go away. Whoa, whoa. It still rains in this heart of mine. They say healing it takes some time. Tomorrow might be a brighter day. Gray skies, please go away. Rich man prays for a pot of gold. A poor man prays for a lighter load. Lover wants a hand to hold. An old man wants his ears back. A sinner needs a right track. A writer wants his story told. But tonight all I pray is you come back and gray skies go away.
Yeah. I was telling you, man, I consider myself a pretty positive, upbeat person, but I'm a huge sucker for some sad, depressing, you know, country music and stuff, man. Like, but you know, we all, again, it's something relatable, though. You know, it's that message. We, you know, we've all been there. We all can And I think that's what makes country music what it is the people, the relatability of the fact that people connect to that, those lyrics and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, we've been there, we've been in that heartbreak situation. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, Gray Skies is the epitome of how everybody has felt at one point or another, sure. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man, that's it's tough stuff, but it's crazy that it inspires. Like, I mean, that's usually either falling in love or heartbreak. I mean, they create some of the best songs.
Yeah, there's a joke in Nashville that says, "Get divorced, it'll make you write better songs."
Yeah, right.
Songwriters are like 98-99% scar tissue because yeah. You know the rough lives, but it gives you something to write about. So
yeah, man. Do you tend to write a lot more from personal stuff like that, or are you able to fictionalize some of this stuff? Or
some is fictional, but usually some of it, or most of it, I'd say it comes from personal stuff. Just stuff I believe in, or something that happened to me, or if I'm feeling good, or you know. And I used to write so much more than I do now. I still write a decent amount, but. You know, you play all these gigs and stuff, and you get home, and you almost... I don't know how, like, Bill Romer does it. He plays way more than I do. I play a lot, but he plays, like, a lot. And, you know, it kind of... It's hard to have that drive to pick up that guitar again when you get home. And
sure.
But I've been trying to turn it around. Like I said, I wrote this morning with Bobby, and we actually wrote a really good one this morning, so that's awesome.
Yeah. How many songs do you feel you've written now? Have you counted recently?
No, I have no idea. Yeah, not a clue. In my early days of writing, I used to write a lot, and they weren't good necessarily. when I lived in Nashville, I wrote just about every day. I couldn't even give you a number. Like yeah. It's a pretty decent amount though, and you only hear the semi good ones. So.
Right. How many you think quite a few are in the vault that are get scrapped or something? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot that I forget about after I write them. It's just kind of exercise.
Sure. Do you ever, do you have them in a notebook or something? Or?
Yeah, there's a couple notebooks filled with them. It seems like, transitional periods in my life. I've got a notebook from, like, high school and then... one in college I was probably supposed to be doing homework in and stuff, right. But songs ended up there. And then Nashville, there's a ton of songs in that one. Mm-hmm. And then I came out of the Stone Ages and started using computers.
I've had some comedians on here and I listened to a lot of podcasts talking to other comedians, and again, it's a similar writing. You know, you're always thinking mm-hmm. of stuff and what lines and different things. But one of the guys, Adam Ray, gave a tip that like he emails himself all the time, like that way because you know phones crash or whatever, you know mm-hmm. computers crash, but at least your email's on a third party server and stuff. Yeah. You can always recover it and stuff. So I thought that was a pretty good idea, pretty good little tip.
Yeah, it's genius. I mean, that's why I always liked the notebook thing, is I'm not going to, I mean, hopefully not going to lose sure. any of that.
You ever go back and, like, look at those, though, and revisit, like, and try to see if there's something there that you missed? And
Not too often, but when I do, man, it's like a trip down memory lane. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing, and, man, I used to write some good stuff when I was younger. It's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, right. it's fun to go back and kind of look where you've been.
Yeah, I think that could be kind of fun though, just kind of a fresh take on it. You know, something you kind of revisit it, and you're like, maybe there's something. You know, I think sometimes you're maybe too attached to it at the time to, mm-hmm. and then you take a break to separate yourself from it, and then be able to come back and finish it.
There's definitely a honeymoon stage with a song. You know, when I first write a song, I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is a hit, and yeah. then. 2 weeks later, I'm like, eh.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. We got another one you want to share today. And this Next Generation. This one, for me, felt very current to, like, a lot of radio today. Like, you know, as you're talking about in the lyrics there, like, you know, it's the same station, just the Next Generation. Like, we kind of country music's always evolving and, like, and people are doing their own, you know, take own versions of it and stuff
yeah.
today, but
I mean, music changes. And you know what? I wrote this song with Bobby Evans and Joe Bozzelli. And like I was saying earlier, we were the dream team for a while. We pumped out a lot of really awesome songs. But I was hunting or something, and I kind of came in late on this write, but they had the idea. And, you know, a few lines written down, and I just fell in love with it. I'm like, oh, this is genius. We were talking about how, you know, country music gets a lot of flack for not being like it used to be, or, you know, how it's so different nowadays, how it's so pop. And we kind of analyzed it, and we're like, it's talking about the same things. I mean, how many different things are you going to be able to talk about, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's where Next Generation came from. And once again, this is one of my favorite songs, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up on Garth, fishing in the dark, and Tammy Wynette stole my heart. I just close my eyes and sing along. Waylon and Willie paved the way and made our music what it is today. Whiskey River still takes my breath away. People say country music has changed, but if you ask me, there's a life that's still the same. 'Cause we still sing about girls and sing about love, Saturday nights and drinking it up, but never church on Sunday morning. And coming down gravel roads with the radio, holding on and letting go. Moonlight train tracks and dancing slow. But it's still the same old country station, just the next generation. There's a little more pop and a little less steel, a different beat and a different feel. Well, all the same ideas on a different day. Red, white, and blue, whiskey truth, outlaws and working man blues. Some things ain't never gonna change. 'Cause we still sing about girls and sing about love, Saturday nights and drinking it up. Never late to church on Sunday morning. And coming down gravel roads with the radio, holding on and letting go. Moonlight train tracks and dancing slow. It's still the same old country station, just the next generation. We still sing about girls and sing about love, Saturday nights and drinking it up, but never late to church on Sunday morning. Coming down gravel roads with the radio, holding on and letting go. Moonlight train tracks and dancing slow. But it's still the same old country station. It's still the same old country station, just the next generation. Next generation.
I totally get it, man, because, like, you know, it seems like, you know, that was always like the... You know, country music is kind of stereotypical in that sense. Like, people kind of make fun of it for some of those reasons. Like, that we there is a lot of the songs about the same stuff. It used to be about the beer, and now it's about, like, Fireball whiskey and stuff. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like, but we all, it's still, like, the same stuff, you know. There's...
Yeah, I mean, people say, you know, Johnny Cash, or, you know, somebody be rolling in their grave. But, like, I mean, Johnny Cash was pretty out there, too, at the time. Or especially, like, Elvis, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, he was taboo. To a certain degree, I think.
Sure.
And, you know, so music changes, and, you know, you got to be on that next trend.
Right.
That's when you really got something special, is when you set a trend. And that's been a goal of mine, kind of with music.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about some of our favorite writers and like guys like Jason Isbell and stuff, and mm-hmm. and Chris Stapleton and all these guys. They're kind of bringing back more of that traditional country sound, and I feel like that's. Is that kind of where you're wanting to go, a little more of that vibe to it, or
me and Bobby talk about this all the time, how we would have been killing it 15, 20 years ago back in the 90s and stuff, but we don't think about it too much when we write. Sometimes we try and be a little bit more uppity, poppy, but I mean, it's just write what you feel, sure. And hopefully one of those takes off. Because I don't think I could write a poppy, modern country song. I mean, maybe I could, but it just, whatever I'm feeling is what I'm going to write, and I'm not going to really force anything,
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's all we can, write what you know, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, but again, follow Tyler on Facebook, keep up with everything there, and then dates and everything coming soon. But yeah, man, I really think I think it would be cool to get in there and record some of these. I mean, they sounded great here today, and I think it'd be fun to put a little studio production into it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting with a band behind it. I haven't heard, that hasn't been really necessarily created except for demos, so
yeah,
it'd be interesting.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I kind of mentioned to Bill too. He just did that recently. Put together the band and stuff, and did a show. And I think that'd be cool to see, because most time you see you guys out there just solo acoustic. So it would be fun to get out there and do something full band.
Yeah, he's been killing it lately. Yeah. And I got to give a shout out to Bill Romer. He's helped me with so many things, just kind of learning the business. Being able to play for a living, it's hard to get kind of on track with that. And,
yeah.
Instead of viewing me as competition, he's really kind of taking me under his wing. And, in the past year and a half that I've known him, I've increased, the places I play at. And, it's just, we got to all kind of help each other. And he really preaches that. And, he does it too. So that's really important. I wish I could help him more along the way, if you will, but he's already got it all covered pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Man. I feel the same way. Like, I feel like there's something really special going on in St. Louis, especially we have a really strong community, people working together like that. And me doing this show, it's a networking. I mean, like I said, like I just recently met Bill. I just recently met you and like all these mm-hmm. guys. And like, Seth Brand, another guy just recently.
Yeah, I know Seth. Yeah.
Just had him on the show a bit ago, another great writer. And it's just, it's cool, like, that whole, connection, just that networking effect that, like, one introduces me to the next one and that, so mm-hmm. on and so on. And I just continue to keep branching out and stuff, meeting all these people for the first time and discovering some really great music in town.
Yeah, I mean, there's more of it than I really honestly thought there was. There's more places to play than I thought there was, too.
Yeah. When I started the show, I felt like I had a fair idea of what St. Louis music was. I mean, I had, I was pretty involved. I had some buddies from school that were playing, and I was like, man, I started the show, hey, we have some buddies on, we'll talk about music, and then, I quickly realized that I had no idea what St. Louis music was. I have so much untapped stuff that, for me personally, that I had no idea about. Then, so that's been one of the coolest things for me on this ride is just again discovering new music constantly and stuff. So
yeah, that's something I wish I could kind of do more of. I mean, when you play out, your Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, right. And then a winery on Sunday or something, it's hard to go see other people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really need to get out there more and kind of listen to some of the. Just what St. Louis has to offer.
Sure, man. Yeah. You were, we're kind of talking about you write from a little bit more personal stuff. Do you ever just hear those songs, though, and like be like, damn, why didn't I write that song? Or
oh, yeah. Or, every day.
Yeah. I always have this idea, like if you hang around an old man long enough, that you're going to write a hit song, because, like, seems like old men just speak in hooks of a song and
definitely
stuff.
Yeah.
Is do you have any like anything like that? You ever like I feel like they just every time they just speak in a one line and just like, man, well, that's a hook in a song right there. And then mm-hmm. like I was kind of talking to Bob with Bill, like it just I feel like if you could somehow start writing those down, then I mean some of them probably already taken.
I was gonna say my phone notes are filled with just stuff I hear and stuff, and it's not only from old men. I mean, a lot of it is, but you know, just things you read or just random people. Or I remember one night, one of my favorite party songs I ever wrote was I was in college and my buddy is pretty drunk, and he said, "You can call me a nail because all I do is get hammered." And I was like, "Oh, got to write that down." And out came a song, and it's. You know, it's another one of my top 10, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah. I was, an old Paul Thorne song, another just brilliant writer. And, he got some success from that, It's a Great Day to Whoop Somebody's Ass song, the Bob and Tom and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he has a song called, I'd Rather Be the Hammer Than the Nail or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, so, kind of, there's a, a little fun in that too. So
yeah, honestly, I don't even remember who said it to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad they did, and I'm glad I woke up in the morning with that in my phone notes. Because
right.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have remembered it otherwise.
Yeah,
but
well, very cool. I appreciate you doing this, coming on the show, and sharing some songs with us. And again, you can come out and see Tyler at Timber Creek Grill on Friday the 27th. Donatelli's on the 9th. Cyberg Chesterfield on the 10th, and BMO's Grill on the 11th. And again, everything at Facebook. And check out the YouTube page, too. You said you've been doing a lot of a little more cover stuff on there.
So. Yeah. It's kind of blown up recently. I've got like almost 500,000 views on a video. We were talking about Garth Brooks earlier. And I put a song, his newest single, Ask Me How I Know. Actually, my buddy wrote. Mitch Rossell, check him out too. He's going places. He's touring with Garth now, but and I mean that video just blew up unbelievably. Look up Tyler Lewis, Ask Me How I Know, and it should come right on up. And yeah, check out all the other songs I've got on there. And we've got some bigger stuff coming too. I think it was Bill's podcast that you did. You were talking about the We Are the Blue, and that stuff. So I wrote that song. We Are the Blue, kind of personalizing cops and talking about how they're regular people. And I think he's going to get to play at Guns N' Hoses, actually. So Bobby, Bill, and I have kind of taken it upon ourselves to kind of give this an extra step and kind of make it a charity, if you will.
Right.
Being able to donate to Backstoppers and other officers that or first responders in general, really. And so a lot of stuff's going to be coming out with that. So check out We Are the Blue on Facebook, wearetheblue.com on the internet. And then my YouTube, I'll have a cover of We Are the Blue coming up pretty soon. And
yeah.
And we'll have some news to share pretty soon here. So follow our Facebook pages and stuff.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, Bill did a version on the show, and it sounded real nice. It'd be fun to hear your version of it, too, and stuff, just compare and contrast and things.
Yeah, I need to get the lyrics in front of me. It's like I was telling you earlier, I write them and then I forget them.
Sure.
But yeah, we can definitely do that sometime.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered that too, like how that works out sometimes. I get, because like for example, I knew with the Even If It Breaks Your Heart song, Will Hogue wrote that with I'm blanking on his name now.
I can't think of it either.
Eric Pasley.
Oh yeah.
They co-wrote that together, but I don't know if I ever heard Will or never heard Eric sing it. But,
you know, I don't know either. And I knew that he wrote that song. Yeah. He's kind of dropped off the face of the earth a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he had a good run there for a while. I think hopefully he's.
He's awesome. I hope he makes another run and stab at it.
Yeah, I met him years ago too at. It was a Willie Nelson Country Throwdown festival thing. And so, yeah, I got to hang with him and Channing Wilson and Rose Falcon, and I met them long before that too, but Brian and Tyler from Florida Georgia Line were hanging out there, and so that was it was cool, man. It was a real fun little thing, and then headlined by Gary Allen and Rodney Atkins, and it was a good party.
Yeah, that's fun. That's awesome. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So again, get involved. Stay tuned for some We Are the Blue information coming to you soon.
Yeah.
And subscribe to that YouTube channel.
Definitely. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Whatever you can click.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks again. Like I said, it's been awesome, man, getting to hang, and maybe we can do another one with that new song you're writing. You said you were with Bobby, you said wrote today.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we wrote one this morning. I definitely don't remember that right now.
Yeah, but maybe we can do another one down the road and share that song, so.
Definitely. I've got plenty of songs to share and plenty more to come. So I really appreciate you having me, and this has been fun. This is my first podcast. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's natural. You're pro, man.
It's pretty easy. All you got to do is talk. So.
Yeah. People get all nervous, but I try to make them comfortable here and just hang out and talk music and stuff. So.
Yeah, I can talk music all day long.
Yeah, man. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.